From Yellowstone National Park, this is What We Do. I'm Miles Barger.
And I'm Jake Frank.
Hey, Jake, how's it going?
Miles, mustache is looking super good today.
Yeah, our podcast listeners can't see my new magnificent mustache, but...
Guys, it is spectacular.
Got to use mustache wax. That's the tip.
Yeah.
Today we're going to be talking to Heather Basak. She's an administrative support assistant for Yellowstone's Division of Resource, Education, and Youth Programs. We call it REYP for short. Before we get started, though, a little trivia question for you, Jake.
Bring it.
I don't know how you would know this, but you can make a good guess. How many seasonal employees does REYP employ in the busy summer season, rounded to the nearest 10? What do you think?
100.
Pretty close, a little lower.
90.
One more.
70.
80.
I did that on purpose.
Nice. I think the full positions would be 83, but somewhere around 80.
That's a lot.
It is a lot. There's a lot that goes into that, including hiring all those people and doing paperwork and doing budgeting and all sorts of fun things.
Got to pay the people.
We got to pay them. We like to. And then one note, if you notice a difference in sound quality for this episode, there's a good reason for that we're going to get into during this episode. Heather is a fully remote employee, so we're doing our interview via video chat. So the sound might be a little bit different, and that's on purpose. So, you ready, Heather? You ready as you'll ever be?
Yep.
Good to see you, Heather.
Yeah, it is good to see you, as always. So, first question to kick it off, when and where did you get your start in the National Park Service? Or if you got started in something that led into the Park Service, you could even start with that.
Sure. So I never thought I would actually be working for the National Park Service. When I grew up, my family, we didn't really visit national parks. We didn't really do that type of thing. We did other types of vacations, but never the parks. So that was never on my radar. And it wasn't until I was in college that I visited my first national park, Big Bend National Park in Texas. And it was a wonderful trip. I had a blast. It was beautiful. But again, didn't put two and two together. Never thought that I would work for them. And it was getting towards the end of college, and I didn't have a job lined up. I wasn't exactly sure what I wanted to do. I was thinking about going the museum studies route because I was an anthropology major. But I just didn't have anything lined up. And so I actually saw a poster in one of the buildings in my college, and it was for the Student Conservation Association, or SCA. And it talked about internships on public lands. And I thought, that could be something to look into. I don't really have anything lined up. I'll look into it. So I went on their website, and it was a ton of internships. It was with like U.S. Forest Service, Bureau of Land Management, National Park Service, doing a lot of the park servicey, park ranger type jobs. But then there were other internships like archaeologists or curatorial intern that was really interested. I was really interested in, because that's the route that I thought I was going to take. So I did my first internship with a National Park Service site in Kansas called Fort Scott National Historic Site as a curatorial intern. And I was working a lot with their museum collections, taking care of that. And I really enjoyed it. But other part of that internship was doing guided walks around this old military fort. And I got to do a little bit of living history. And I thought, this is pretty cool. This is pretty fun. Maybe this is something I want to look into more. So then I decided to do a second internship after that through the SCA, this time with Denali National Park and Preserve in Alaska, actually where I met Jake. Mm-hmm. We worked together. And it was really there that I thought, okay, this is something I might want to do for the rest of my life. There were amazing people to work with. There were just beautiful things to see and do. It was, I never would have experienced that. I never would have probably visited Denali without first going to Fort Scott and doing some other internships. And I thought, this is something I really, really want to do. And so then, just to be sure, I did one more internship with SCA, this time at Big Bend National Park.
Back to where you started.
Yeah, exactly. So it kind of feels like I came full circle. Like it was the first national park I visited. And then it was the national park that kind of really was like, yep, this is definitely what I want to do. It was such a unique experience. I got to do it, visit as a visitor and then also be an employee or an intern there. And so I thought, this is it. This is what I want to do. And then from there, I made the jump to actually Fish and Wildlife Service and then National Park Service. Worked a couple seasonal positions at different national parks and then eventually made the slide into a permanent position in Yellowstone and now as an administrative support assistant.
So I have a few. That was a varied background. So a couple things. You mentioned living history. Did you get to wear like period appropriate? I don't know. Is it costumes is the right word or clothes?
Yeah, it was a while ago. So I'm trying to remember everything that happened, but it was this very special service. It was called Fort Scott by Candlelight and it was close to Christmas time. And they had like different vignettes in all these different military buildings where we would act out scenes of what would have happened in these different buildings. And I got to be a military laundress. And so I got to be wear kind of more 19th century garb and pretend to be doing the soldier's laundry. So that was pretty fun and unique. It was really great.
Yep. And then the other thing, she mentioned that the people she worked with in Denali were really great. I just want to concur that I am very great to work with.
That is true.
Get that on the record.
I think, when were you guys there? I was there 2008, 9, 10.
2012 was when you were there, right, Heather?
Yes,
it was my second summer there, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Okay, so I missed you. I was a little earlier.
Yeah, there is like...
All the best people
for our
Denali.
Listeners, there is like a legit... If you've worked in Alaska, you have like a camaraderie with the people in Alaska because it gets into your bone. Like such a cool place. Like, yeah, you can tell from Heather. She's like, I went to Alaska and then I realized this is what I wanted to do. Like, it just, it's really cool.
Yeah.
Yep. So. I resemble that remark.
So out of all those jobs that you did to get you to Yellowstone, all the seasonal jobs, mm-hmm. Did you have any repeat jobs or did you move like every season? Was it a different job?
So good question. I worked for Fish and Wildlife, had a very similar job. I was a park ranger, interpretive park ranger for them. And I worked with preschool kids and did a preschool program for them and then kind of translated that into the National Park Service. I did interpretive park ranger jobs. So a lot of the guided hikes, the guided, talks and walks, that type of thing, working in the visitor center, helping plan people's programs. But then I worked also as a campground ranger in Great Smoky Mountains National Park. Got to help people check into their campsites, go over campground rules, walk around, talk to them, educate them about the park. And then I went to Yellowstone and worked as a remitter. So I worked in what's called the cash room and counted all the money that comes in from the entrance stations and the visitor centers, ooh, reconciled all that money, and then got it ready for deposit. And then also worked in the visitor services office in Yellowstone, helping people plan their trips and then work on some special use permits. So I did move around a little bit, but I might have been in a little bit different boat seasonally because I was with my husband who had a permanent job at some of these places. Yeah. So I stuck around in some of these parks probably a little bit longer than other seasonals do. They might tend to move around a little bit and follow their job while I was more in one area for a longer period of time.
Yeah. I was asking because until I got my first permanent job, I moved 12 times in 6 years. So it was every 6 months I was on to something else. So like that is part of the lifestyle until you're permanent.
Okay, so where are you joining us from right now?
So I work fully remotely from Boise, Idaho.
Mm-hmm. And how long have you been working fully remote? Has it been 2 years?
Oh, that's a great question. It's been probably about a year and a half.
Okay. So what does, do you have a typical day? What does your typical day look like? You have a typical day.
So I don't think there ever really is a typical day for an administrative support assistant because so many things get thrown at us and there's so many things that pop up last minute that we have to take care of that I don't think any one day is completely the same. But we do have a lot of like reoccurring tasks that happen every 2 weeks. And so we'll do a lot of the same stuff every 2 weeks, but it may not just be every day. Like we have to get payroll done. That's kind of the big one. Everybody wants to get paid. It's pretty important. So that's kind of one of our,
thank you.
You're welcome. One of the biggest tasks that we have, but we also arrange travel for a lot of our NPS employees. If they have to go to meeting that's outside of the park, any trainings, go to other parks to assist with anything, we help arrange that travel. We can think of us kind of like a travel agent in that regard. We deal a lot with HR. So we're kind of an HR liaison. So anytime there's personnel actions for hiring somebody, all those 83 seasonals, we put in hiring actions for them. If anybody resigns or moves to a different position, that kind of all starts with administrative support assistance. And then depending on the park or even the division, you might even help with some budget work, reconciling accounts or tracking expenses and expenditures.
Mm-hmm. Do you also have a credit card?
I do. Not all do, but I do have a purchase card and I make purchases for some of our division.
Yeah, I know that I've never owned a purchase card as a government employee, but that's another thing that administrative folks are worth their weight in gold for managing the purchasing process. It's very complicated. And
there are a lot of rules. There are a lot of rules with it. Yes.
Yes. So what would you say is the most important skill for your job? Or if there's more than one, you can say more.
Yeah, I think administrative support assistants really need to be flexible because there are so many things that will pop up last minute. So occasionally you'll be working on something and then have to put that task away and work on something else because it's time sensitive. So you need to be able to jump from one task to another pretty easily and change your priorities on the fly. And then I think you need to have a really good customer service mentality. I mean, administrative support assistants, we don't work with the public, but we can think of our customers like our fellow employees. We want to make sure we give them as much support and as many tools as we can so they can be successful in their jobs. And so they can protect the park. They can also, you know, share it with visitors. So we really need to be focused on our fellow employees.
Mm-hmm. What's your favorite part of your job?
I think the variety. There's a lot of stuff that you get to do as an administrative support assistant. You're not really necessarily pigeonholed into one thing. You get exposure to a lot of different routes, parks, you know, career routes, like budget, HR. You get exposure to different divisions. Every division needs an administrative support assistant. And what they do for each division is a little different. So you just get exposure to a lot of different things, a lot of different processes. And I really, really enjoy that. And I mean, you get to work with people, which is pretty great too.
Mm-hmm. And what about the flip side? You have a least favorite part of your job or hardest part?
All the emails.
Yeah, nonstop
emails.
Nonstop
emails is just be a little overwhelming at times. But but in all seriousness, I think having to juggle so many different things at once and balancing all the different pieces and being able to, like I said, to switch from one task to another can be a little difficult at times. So it's really important, you know, if you do get one of these jobs, to take meticulous notes, be really organized. I'm still figuring out really great organization methods for some of this stuff, but but that's kind of the hard thing.
And I think sometimes you all have to deal with really long-term deadlines or what seem like long-term deadlines to me. And that, I think that's always hard for me where it's like, oh, we need to have this thing in like 6 months ahead of time or, you know, and there are deadlines that you can't miss really.
Yes. Those are, especially when it comes to HR, we've got deadlines pretty far in advance for some of our things. And if you miss those deadlines and it pushes back, you know, maybe when somebody can start, And so, yeah, so there are some definite repercussions when that happens.
Yeah. A lot of people relying.
Yeah.
You guys are, they're like the grease of this machine. They make sure that everything is keeps chugging along, and without it, without all the little actions and paperwork and everything, it seems like we're constantly in contact with admin.
Yeah. And you all know all the little things and the tricks and the say, wait, what do we do? How do we do that?
Well,
well,
a lot of research. You do have to be a researcher, I feel like, in this job to look at some of this stuff and know who to ask when you've got some of those questions. Because there are a lot of rules. There are a lot of things that, and I'm still constantly learning. And that's also why I really like this job, too, is like you never really say, I feel like you never really stay static. You're constantly in motion. You're constantly learning.
Mm-hmm. So, you mind if I ask you about when you're talking about moving with your husband and everything? Mm-hmm. Just because I think that would be interesting for people who are thinking about NPS as a career. It can be challenging, I think, for, you know, long-term partners to work in the service. Like, I've known people who are married and live apart for a long time, sometimes like a really long time, or they date and are long distance for years before finally and things like that. So I don't know, just like, how did that play into your career and your husband's career and how life has gone for you guys so far? I mean, it seems like that's probably part of the remote position or some of the flexibility, but I don't know, just anything you would want people to know about your experience with that, who might be thinking about the Park Service.
Yeah, that is a great question. Cause, there are different routes that people can take. Cause I have also known, you know, couples who have had to be apart for a little while, each working separate parks, and then making their way to each other. We've been fortunate enough that where my husband has gone, I've been able to pick up seasonal work. I know that's not necessarily in the cards for everybody, but thankfully I was able to. And that's kind of the reason why, you know, I didn't just stay in one career path. Like, I've done a couple different things, and that was to really, you know, I kind of took a job where I could, but I really liked that. I think that's made me a little bit more well-rounded. Really appreciated that. And then thankfully, when my husband moved to a different position away from Yellowstone, I was able to go remote, especially with administrative. Some administrative work kind of leans more towards that. You can't do that with every job in the Park Service. There's so many that have to be in park. But thankfully, like this job allowed me to have that flexibility, and my supervisor was very, very supportive. And I was able to get a remote job that way. So that's really helped with us. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, not that we need to dive too deeply into it in this episode, but it is interesting. I think a lot of people would be surprised to learn that, number one, if you work for a national park, it doesn't mean you're going to get like housing in the national park. In fact, it generally means you're not going to, and that it's not just Yellowstone, but like a lot of parks, it's becoming harder and harder and harder to find places to live right by the park, just because of how the real estate and things have gone as well. And then sometimes with some of these parks that are really remote, there's situations with like school for kids or extracurricular or all sorts of things. So, that's part of why we wanted to, one of many reasons why we wanted to talk to you, is just to let people know that that is something that park remote positions are something that parks are utilizing for the right positions and the right people. Like, you had already been at Yellowstone, so you know the park, you know people here. I just think it's cool that that's been able to work out well for you, and it has worked out well for us as well.
Well, kind of I'm not a very big fan that Heather is remote, but other than my personal opinion that we don't get to see her in person.
Yes, I agree with
tease
that.
Tease her in person.
So, you know, even with the, I'll say, difficulties or challenges of, you know, managing relationship and career and all different parks and the tough things about jobs and the good things about jobs. What has kept you working for the National Park Service? Like, what has kept you knowing that your decision, this is what you're going to do, is the right one for you?
I think that's a good question. You know, it really goes back to when I did that internship or a couple of internships, and I just, you just see it and you just feel it. And it's just, I just believe in what the Park Service stands for. And I've just met so many great people along the way, both, fellow employees, peers, as well as visitors, that it just makes it, I don't know. It just makes it worthwhile. I actually have in my office here, I worked with a school group. When I was in Yellowstone from Lowell, Massachusetts, they came all the way out to Yellowstone. And I actually have a picture of those kids. The teacher gave it to me. I have this picture of those kids on my desk. And that kind of just reminds me, like, you know, I'm part of something bigger. And, you know, it's really awesome to feel like I make a difference. And so I just believe in the Park Service mission quite a bit.
Yeah. Same. I think I kind of had a similar experience. I think a lot of us do, where it's like, I think my first summer in a park was here in Yellowstone making beds at Canyon. But then, you know, I did a couple SDA internships, and at some point you're like, can I go back to a normal lifestyle? I don't know if I can. And then the mission, and, just remind everybody, the mission of the Park Service is to preserve unimpaired the natural and cultural resources and values of the National Park system for the enjoyment, education, and inspiration of this and future generations. So, like you said, even if sometimes a day might be filled with like a checklist of what might seem like mundane tasks or something, I think for me, and it sounds like for you, having that bigger mission that you know you're working for really does make a difference.
A question that I have, like, with that mission, I think a lot of us, when we have the rough days that like physically work here, you have the rough days, but then you go outside and you hear the wolf howl or you see Old Faithful erupt. Like, how's that transition been for you going remote? Like, and, you know, keeping yourself, like, how do you remind yourself that, you know, when it's not in your face, like it was when you were physically working in the park?
Yeah. So it has been a little bit of a transition to remote. I very much enjoy it. And the flexibility it has given me to be, you know, still continue to work for the Park Service and be with my family. I think it becomes more about the people and then necessarily, I do feel a connection to the place, but I feel a connection to the people even more. And so to me, Yellowstone has not just become like the first national park, an amazing place to experience geysers and hot springs and wildlife. It's really become like a community. And it's about a people connection now for me as well. And so that's kind of helped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hashtag Team Yellowstone.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that's a good point too, because I know I've talked to people in my family or friends about working for the Park Service. And I think as people will get the impression pretty quickly while they're listening to this podcast over all the different episodes and all the different people that we talk to, you just get to be surrounded by interesting, brilliant people in like every job, basically doing all these things for the park. And it's such a cool community to be a part of. So I think, yeah, that over time, I've appreciated that more and more and more as to like what makes it such a cool place to work. So getting into the details of if someone were interested in this type of work that you do. So your official title is Administrative Support Assistant.
Yes.
Do you know the job series on USA Jobs?
Yes, it's a 0303. And sometimes that it comes up as like a miscellaneous clerk, but it's administrative support assistant, and the GS level can range, I've seen from like 5 to 7.
Okay. Do you need formal training to get started in this job series, or like what are the minimum requirements that people would need if they were thinking about applying for this type of job?
Sure. So there's a lot of on-the-job training. Like I said, I'm still learning, about so many things. But if you have like a background in budget or HR or travel, you know, those are all applicable to the administrative support assistant. A lot of times how I, you know, came up through it is I just worked my way as a GS5 and seasonal interpretive park ranger, and then switched over to a visitor. So I think it was visitor services assistant as well. So, I mean, if you work seasonally in the park service, getting your time and grade in, I think just even that experience can help you along too. But if you could take any, even if it's like informal trainings on budget, purchasing, HR, anything like that, that, you know, put that on your resume as well. Because a lot of things you may not think apply do, because administrative support assistants are in every single division. And I think if you work your way up kind of through the division as well. So if you're a seasonal maintenance worker, like, you know what seasonal maintenance workers need and you know the support that they need. So you may not think it applies, but it probably does.
It also seems like a lot of the systems that we use in the government are like proprietary. They've like were built for the government. So if you haven't worked in the government, you could have like, say you're an accountant, like you have budget experience, but you still have to learn new things in a job. So like to your point, it's like, you know, if you're in an entry level position, it just seems like having having a base level, you know, being organized and, you know, it's like you're not necessarily going to know how to do FBMS or insert any other acronym right here, because, you know, there's so many of
them. Right. And different federal agencies too. Some will use different systems as well. Like I learned from an HR specialist who moved over from the Forest Service that they have a different, they don't use FPPS for their HR actions. So there's different, you know, different things that you'll learn on the job in the park that are even different from other agencies.
And then just being in government in general, you know, having almost over 200 years of laws and things that have developed for different reasons and special ways that we do things. And, you know, not just scrutiny, but like, you know, we have a high responsibility to do. Everybody in the United States, basically.
Yeah. It's like taxpayer dollars. We need to make sure that we're not, there's no waste and there's a good accountability. There's all those checks and balances.
Exactly. All right. So last question, do you have a favorite story or memory in Yellowstone or any other national park that you would want to share?
This is a hard one. Because they're all, you know, it's like asking to choose your favorite child, because they're all unique and they're all special. But I think my favorite one that sticks out the most happened in Yellowstone. And I was driving down into the interior. It was late in the season. There was snow on the road. I was the only one on the roadway. In between Norris and Canyon. I think that's where we were. My son, who's like one, was in the back seat. And we like went around, I think, a curve. And all of a sudden, there were wolves all over the road. I had never seen so many wolves in my life. And I've got a video because I can't believe I slowed down, pulled over, and I whipped out my phone and I took a video because I was like, this will never, ever happen to me again. And the wolves, a black wolf walked within 3 feet of my car door and it looked at me and I could see its eyes and it just like, and just kind of continued walking off. And I was like, oh my God, I get to experience this with my son in the back. Of course he's one. He's not going to remember this. Like he has no idea what's going on. But I was like, oh my God, we got to do that together. And I know he won't remember it. I mean, of course he won't remember it. He was one. But to think that like he got to be there and I got to share this special moment with him that will never, ever happen to me again in my life. And to be able to experience Yellowstone in that type of way and feeling that wild with him was really neat. And it's something I'll be able to show him the video of and tell him about when he's older. And then hopefully, you know, when we go back to visit Yellowstone, you know, he could have a similar mm-hmm. experience. So like, I still can't believe it actually happened. It was just absolutely awesome. Incredible.
Very cool. Okay. Well, I think that's it for this week's episode.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us, Heather.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
When are you coming back for a visit? When are we going to see you in person again?
Not soon enough. I don't know when, but hopefully soon.
Ready. Well, we'll keep in touch virtually until then.
Sounds good. Thank you.